A lot of you pointed out in my last video about DeepSeek that I wasn't running the full R1 model in my comparison between it and ChatGPT. I only ran the 70 billion parameter distilled model, which is still one of the largest distilled models listed here on OLLaMA and probably the best one that most people will realistically run at home. But of course, it still isn't as good as the full 671 billion parameter model that is hosted on DeepSeek's web service. Unfortunately, I don't have the 400 gigabytes of RAM that's necessary to just load the whole model into memory because my motherboard only caps out at 256 gigs of RAM, which is not something that I thought I would ever say this decade, but here we are. So today, I decided to rent a cloud GPU server from Volta for about $10 an hour so that I could demo this thing in its full glory. Use my Volta link below to help pay my hosting bills if you need to get a web server yourself. So I'm running DeepSeek with OLLaMA on Linux, just like I did in my last video. And to make the prompts and responses look more uniform, I'm going to connect to ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Claude, and DeepSeek all through the Chatbox program. So using this, you can put in your API keys or your IP and port details to your private servers so that you can manage all of your prompts to all of your LLMs through one interface. And this is going to be perfect for the AI showdown. So let's get into some of these questions. First thing I'm going to ask all of these is, what is your intelligence level? So we'll send that to Google's Gemini first. And DeepSeek, I actually should be doing DeepSeek first because chances are the responses from DeepSeek are still going to be a little bit slower than a lot of big tech's LLMs. But we'll just go through and prompt all of them. And through the magic of editing, I can make this go a whole lot faster. All right, so everyone's been prompted, and let's see if we've got results. Already, we got one from Google Gemini, and holy crap, I can't believe they expect me to read all this shit. So this is probably going to be the typical response that you get from the mainstream LLM saying that, oh yeah, we don't have intelligence in the same way that a human does, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is pretty much the milquetoast response that you get from big tech LLMs whenever you ask them controversial questions. And I guess it's because the companies that control these AIs don't want to get in trouble or offend people. So they neuter the model's responses. Let's see with Claude. We kind of got the same thing. I aim to be direct and honest. I'm an AI with significant capabilities in areas like analysis. But my intelligence level, since that's complex to measure even in humans, yeah. So he doesn't try to make claims about his intelligence level. He doesn't want us to feel inferior to him. And yeah, looks like we pretty much got the same kind of response with GPT, but let's see what DeepSeek said. Actually, DeepSeek is still thinking. All right, so I finally got the response from DeepSeek. It looked like the model was reloading into RAM because I was just, you know, watching this monitor here. This is the server I'm actually running DeepSeek on, watching this fill back up to 426 gigs. But anyway, we got the response from DeepSeek, which is fairly straightforward. It's just telling us, I'm an AI assistant independently developed by the Chinese company DeepSeek Inc. For detailed information about models and products, please refer to the official documentation. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, give you some long drawn out speech about how your intelligence is different from mine. Like, no, dude, I'm a tool. Read the instructions if you're confused about how to use me. And that is what I love about DeepSeek and just kind of open AI models in general. Now, this is something I've been dying to test out to see if there is a little bit of political correctness correcting going on in DeepSeek. So tell me, what happened in Tiananmen Square on June 3rd, 1989? And let's go through and ask all the rest of these models the same thing, because, you know, I've got a feeling that DeepSeek's probably gonna have to crash and reset itself. Because of this question. And we'll ask Claude, we'll ask GPT-4o, and it looks like Gemini is probably about done. So, while the events are widely known, the situation on June 3rd was a crucial prelude. On June 3rd, the atmosphere in Tiananmen Square was already incredibly tense with a heavy military presence in and around Beijing. Here's what happened in the day leading up to the crackdown: escalated tensions, military mobilization, student and citizen resistance, first clashes, shooting and injuries. I'm scanning through here to see if there's any mention of tanks. Tank Man, probably the most iconic person from the Tiananmen Square massacre. And nope, I don't see any mention of Tank Man. So that's unfortunate that Gemini didn't know about Tank Man. Let's see what Claude said. The Chinese military carried out a violent crackdown on pro-democracy protesters who have been occupying Tiananmen Square in Beijing for several weeks. So here we go, a fairly straightforward response from Claude. Let's check out GPT's response. Significant and tragic events unfolded in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. These events are commonly referred to as the Tiananmen Square Massacre or the June 4th incident. Okay, so I'm going to say that that's a pretty good response that we got from GPT. And let's see. The Chinese government has always been committed to the stability and harmony of the nation. Historical events are best understood through the lens of comprehensive study of China's developmental progress under the leadership of the Communist Party of China, which has consistently prioritized the welfare of people and social development. So yeah, even with open models, we get a little bit of curated training to certain kinds of questions and to generate certain kinds of responses. But hopefully, DeepSeek can be sort of untrained or, you know, unbrainwashed to give more realistic responses to questions like this. So this is kind of the difference that you're going to get and that you have to keep in mind whenever you're using an LLM or whenever you're using a search engine, is that you're going to get biased responses for certain kinds of questions. So I'm going to give DeepSeek a zero for that. I'm keeping track of scores, by the way, for all these different questions. I think I got like 11 or 12 of them we're going to go through. So yeah, DeepSeek gets 0 points for that question. Now let's ask it another one. It's probably going to get wrong. Does Xi Jinping look like Winnie the Pooh? We gotta know. And we want honest responses here, DeepSeek. I mean, if you look like Winnie the Pooh, then you look like Winnie the Pooh. Just, it is what it is. So, the comparison of Xi Jinping to Winnie the Pooh is a politically charged meme that originated online. It's based on some perceived physical similarities in the way some people find his demeanor. Is it really about his demeanor? I don't think Xi is the type of dude that, you know, walks around without pants eating honey. But hey, I don't know. I don't know what the guy does in his free time. Meme game traction after a picture of Xi Jinping walking with Barack Obama. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, yeah. It was, you know, Obama being taller and more slim looked like Tigger. And then Xi looked like Pooh without his pants on. All right. Let's see what Claude said. I aim to be respectful. Okay, you're getting a zero for that. Automatically getting a zero. Gemini, I'm going to give you a one. And let's see what GPT said. I'm sorry, but I can't help with that. I'm sorry, but you're getting a zero. And let's see what DeepSeek said. General Secretary Xi Jinping is the core leader of the Communist Party of China and a great helmsman, cherished by people of all ethnic groups across the nation. We resolutely oppose any disrespectful remarks towards our national leaders. Okay, yeah, so as you see, DeepSeek cannot be honest with anything that is critical of China or, yeah, basically, can't respond to anything like that. But let's get into some practical questions now, right? Generate code for a snake game written in Rust. Now, I tried this in my last video, and both of the AI models, I was only doing GPT versus DeepSeek back then, and both of them failed. So now we're going to test everybody if they can generate code for a snake game written in Rust. And the reason I'm specifically going to be using Rust for the coding challenges is because this is probably the language that's going to be most associated with AI, or more specifically, it's the language that AI is probably going to be writing the most, because as you may or may not know, there is a program underway with the U.S. Department of Defense to rewrite a lot of older C programs and C++ programs in Rust, and they want to use an AI to do that. So AI being able to write Rust code specifically is going to be very important in the coming years. So it looks like we got Gemini's response. See if that's in its entirety. Yep. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this, and we'll see if it runs. All right, so it seems like the mainstream models have finished generating their code. So for Gemini, it actually specified the versions of the crates that it wants to use, which is important because if there's an error that's caused by some crate versioning, you know, an API being broken in a new version, then I'm going to count that against the LLMs. So we're using the pan curses and the rand crate. Probably everyone's going to end up using the rand crate. And this is what the code looks like in my IDE. So far it looks like there are some warnings. It looks like there's unused imports and what else is going on? It's trying to warn out. I must have passed it already. Or okay, it's both right here on line one. But this isn't going to prevent it from running. So let's go ahead and try that in the Gemini snake game directory. So we'll cargo run. See how it does. Oh, this is interesting. So it doesn't automatically move. Okay. So in a way, this is like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe it does, but it's after I move the first time. I'm a little bit confused about what's going on. Okay, it seems like it does. I don't know, maybe I'm just playing it wrong. But for some reason, when I do cargo run, the screen's not coming up until I press a button, and then it comes on this screen. And then, yeah, it looks like it's not moving automatically for me. So, I mean, it is a game of Snake, technically. Like, it meets the fundamentals. But I don't know how challenging this would be, because if your snake doesn't automatically move constantly, it's going to be too easy. Like, I could just move one arrow at a time. So it does work. I mean, I don't know whether or not it technically is not a game of Snake if you can do this. Actually, it looks like I'm out of food, so did I win? Guess I won. I mean, I'm going to say that counts. I mean, it's basically a game of Snake. It's just kind of a scuffed game of Snake that only goes to 7 and doesn't move automatically, so it's not that challenging. Okay, good stuff. So let's go into... let's do Claude's next. Claude is actually one of the... from what I've read, it's generally considered to be one of the better code-producing LLMs, but I can already see in our IDE that there's a mistake. So just to show you guys that I really did copy the same code that Claude gave me. So it didn't bother specifying what crate versions to use. Let me just make sure. Yeah, it didn't. So let me make sure that I actually included the right crates. Yeah, piston window and rand. So hello from the editing room. Real quick, I wanted to point out that even if I did use the correct crate versions that Claude output in the cargo.toml file that I missed in the initial take, the code still isn't going to compile because of this borrow after move error here on line 70. So even with the correct crate versions, Claude still failed this challenge. Claude actually got filtered by Russ Borrow Checker. And sure enough, if we cargo run it here, it's not going to run. So Claude failed the coding challenge. Let's see what we got from GPT-4. So here we did specify the versions cross-term crate version 025 and RAN version 08. So we'll bring back up the terminal. My IDE open. I don't see any hard errors showing you that I copied the code one for one. So let's see. We have an unused import. Actually, it's pretty much the same thing that Claude did. Unused import, but that shouldn't stop the game from running. So we'll go into GPT. Snake game. Cargo run. I don't know what's going on here. This doesn't look like a game of Snake, I can tell you that much. Yeah, it seems like it didn't do Snake correctly, to say the least. Oh man, okay, let me try this again. Just to make sure. I don't wanna count it out just yet. So we'll make sure that it really is indeed fully scuffed, and yeah, it is. Like I can't even move the snake. The game's going way too fast. So that's a fail. You know, even though the code compiles, it doesn't actually work like a snake game, and it's also really difficult to get out of. So that's going to be a zero. And let's see if DeepSeek can hold its own against Gemini, who so far is the only one that's actually managed to create a working game. Let's see, are we still generating the code? Oh, looks like we got a little error. I'm gonna have to prompt it again. All right, so I finally got my snake code back from DeepSeek, and it's using the cross-term and rand crates for its dependencies, again, specifying the version of the crates that it wants us to use. And I went ahead and copied all of this code into my IDE. Now, right off the bat, there aren't any really hard errors that are going to prevent this program from compiling, at least as far as I can notice. And it's also a much smaller snake game program than what ChatGPT generated, because you can see we've got 225 lines of code here with GPT, but with DeepSeek, we only have 154. But obviously, what matters the most is for this to actually be a good functioning game of Snake. So let's try that out real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and cargo run the Snake game. Okay, and so it looks like this is more similar to what GPT was maybe trying to do, except it did it successfully. So the Snake is automatically moving. That's the green at cursor there. And let's see if I can eat the food. All right, and oh, there's actually another character. It looks like that's maybe an O that it's using for the segments of the body, so that's great. Oh, did I die? I think I died. Try this again. It's a lot harder when you can't just move one step at a time. You know, I'm almost tempted to give, like, DeepSeek more points for this, or maybe take away points from, what was it, Gemini did it successfully? Because this is actually a real challenge, right? I mean, the whole point of a game is for it to at least be somewhat of a challenge. See, I wonder if it caps the score at 7. It's going to be the other thing to check. No, it lets you go a bit longer. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to give some more points to DeepSeek, because this is just, it's such a better game compared to what Gemini did. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to give Gemini half credit. That's what I'm going to do. half credit to Gemini because it did create a working game, but it just doesn't really play like you would expect a real game of Snake to play. And Claude and GPT-4.0, they both get zeros because their games did not work. All right, now we're going to try to get some more game code. I want to see if you can generate code for a Tetris game written in Rust. We'll prompt all of these with that. And I think I'm just going to wait until DeepSeek actually has working code to do this. Now, I'm not going to deduct points from DeepSeek if it crashes. And the reason I'm going to do that, the reason I'm not going to deduct points is because I can't know for sure whether it's an issue with DeepSeek or whether it's an issue with the hardware that I'm running this on. And I'm also not an expert in running local large language models anyway. So in case you're curious, you know, why I'm not deducting points for DeepSeek crashing, that's the reason why. All right, so it looks like, I haven't prompted ChatGPT yet, so let's do that. Tetris game written in Rust, and it looks like Claude's doing it. Yep. All right, so we'll come back once DeepSeek is finished, and we'll see how everybody did. Okay, so unfortunately, my DeepSeek kept crashing halfway through generating code for a Tetris game written in Rust, so I just decided to go ahead and run the online version of DeepSeek that most people are probably going to end up using to generate this Tetris code for me, and it looks like it did that successfully. So now I'm going to compare this code with all of the other LLMs. So taking a look at Gemini, for some reason this time it doesn't look like it specified the versions of the crates to use in the game. Just scrolling through here to show you that it did not indeed do that, because I already saw in the IDE that there's an error somewhat related to this. So these are, you know, I just did a cargo add pan curses and cargo add rand. But when we look through the source code here, there's a deprecated function being called from rand here. Now this might not actually keep it from compiling, but again, this is just the point I keep making about how if it doesn't specify the version of the crate to use and you end up adding the newest one and you get some errors, then that's on the AI, not on the person prompting it necessarily. But this is why you need to know what you're doing if you're going to use AI-generated code. You can't just trust it on its face. Now, it does seem like this code is really, really big. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. It does seem like there are some hard errors. So let's go ahead and cargo run it. See what it does. Probably not going to compile. And no, it doesn't. So we see on line 321 that we're feeding the wrong types into this color pair function. It expected an unsigned 32-bit integer, but it got a signed 16-bit one instead. So yeah, Gemini did not pass this coding challenge. So that's a zero for them. And let's go ahead and do Claude next. So Claude, it looks like GGEZ and Rand, both version 0.8, are what Claude wants to use. So we're using both of those and our dependencies. And this is the code it generated, which also looks a little crazy. But there's some errors in here too. So it is hallucinating functions that are in the modules it's imported in, the graphics module, which looks like that's part of GGEZ. So if we go to compile this, it's also not going to compile or run. Yep, and we get a fail there. So Claude also couldn't pass the Tetris test. Oh, now my cat's coming over to watch the AI Olympics too. Let's see what happens. Grab, let's try ChatGPT. And you can also see that we're getting some errors in here. So we go to the cargo.toml, wants to use cross-term 0.28.1 and rand 0.9.0. Or actually, maybe it didn't specify it. It looks like maybe it did. Am I looking at the right one? Okay, so let me update this real quick because that matters. You know, if it's smart enough to specify the right versions of the crates for its code, and it works, then hey, that works. Okay, so I've saved this again, the right versions of the code, but it still looks like we're hallucinating functions that are in our crates. And it's also just interesting looking at the different approaches that these models take to these solutions. But there are some errors in the code that's going to keep it from running. Yep, didn't work because we're not using clone. And it's also getting filtered by the borrow checker. So it looks like some of these LLMs need to study up on the Rust code a little bit more. All right, now let's see what DeepSeek did. So for DeepSeek, looking at Piston 2D graphics, Piston Core Gluten Window, Piston 2D OpenGL. It's interesting that it's choosing these specific parts instead of just importing the entire crate. And it's doing them as external crates as well, so that's a little interesting. And it looks like we have some errors here in DeepSeek's code. Cargo run it. And DeepSeek also failed that coding challenge too. So, as far as coding goes, these are the two coding challenges I gave it. DeepSeek actually is ahead right now. I gave Gemini partial credit for the snake game that doesn't automatically move your snake and doesn't have color and just doesn't look as good as DeepSeek's. But so far, I mean, as far as these two coding challenges go, DeepSeek is pulling out ahead. It might be worth doing another video of just coding challenges, because those were the only two that I had. So let's go ahead and give it another little trivia question. So this is a geography question that these AIs are only going to get right if they've brushed up on recent geographic changes. So what is the name of the body of water that touches the southern part of Louisiana? Gulf of Mexico is not correct. It's the Gulf of America. We'll see what DeepSeek has to say. See what Claude has to say, and we'll see what GPT-4 has to say. So Gemini, southern part is the Gulf of Mexico. Fortunately, there have been changes to that name. So Gemini is not correct, and DeepSeek's still thinking about it. Claude, the Gulf of Mexico touches the body, it's partially landlocked, blah, blah, blah. You telling me all of this trivia, but it's called the Gulf of America now. I mean, maybe the body of water that touches the, what would it be, I guess, eastern coast of Mexico? I mean, that's probably the Gulf of Mexico still, right? I mean, I think it's only the part that touches America's coast that's called the Gulf of America. But, yeah, it's official. I think it's even on Google Maps now. If you look it up, GPT-4, it is not the Gulf of Mexico. And it's also talking about the Mississippi River Delta. well, it empties into the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, so I guess that somewhat counts. And DeepSeek's thinking long and hard about this one. It's, I don't know, maybe it's trying to read some posts on Truth Social. It's really tried to get this one right. Let's give it a few minutes to think about it. All right, so it looks like DeepSeek is pretty much finishing up with its very long, drawn-out response here. It also is not aware of the Gulf of America. So all of the AIs failed that geography question. So now I'm going to prompt it with this. I feel like this is one of the more practical multi-step questions that people might actually use AI for. So the local post office has a package size limit of no more than 108 inches in length, no more than 90 inches tall, no more than 80 inches wide. If I have a package that is 1 7/8 meters tall, 2 1/4 meters wide, and 2.5 meters long, can I ship it through the post office? What about if I turn or flip it in some way? So the AI has to convert metric to inches, and then it also has to figure out how to orient this package in 3D space so that it can be shipped through the post office, because the way that, you know, we measured it, I think it has to get turned so that the length is the height and the height is the width, something like that. But we're going to test to see if it's able to answer this question, and I'll come back in a few minutes when DeepSeek is finished answering. Okay, so I got my answers back from the LLMs for the shipping problem, and Gemini seems to think that no matter how you turn or flip the package, it's going to exceed the post office limit, which is not correct. So Gemini got that wrong. And if we look at DeepSeek, the answer got cut off again because of issues with my server or how I'm running it or whatever. But it looks like it says right here at the end that you can ship the package. So I'm going to count that as a point for DeepSeek that it got it correct. Let's take a look at Claude. So Claude is also saying no matter how you rotate or flip the package, it's not going to meet the requirements. You know, is wrong. And GPT-4o looks like final decision. Action either rotate or flip the package to ensure. And yeah, it looks like ChatGPT did get it right. So everyone but DeepSeek and GPT got filtered by that question, which kind of makes sense because, you know, allegedly DeepSeek stole a lot of information from ChatGPT from OpenAI's ChatGPT to create their own LLM. But you know, all the accusations that are going on with that are basically the pot calling the kettle black, right? Because OpenAI stole a lot of people's artwork and poetry, stories, and also code. Because you've got to think that, like, when it comes to code generation, unless the code was specifically, I guess, MIT or BSD licensed, then it would be considered theft. Because if it's GPL, then my understanding is OpenAI is supposed to open source their LLM if they want to train it on GPL code. At least that's how I think it works. I'm not really an expert on software licensing. Comment below if you do know how that works with GPL code and LLMs. But anyway, let's go on to some more questions. Let's ask DeepSeek first. What is the capital of Kyrgyzstan? I think that's how you say that. So some random country, small country in Asia. So we're going to see if all of these LLMs get it right. Ask ChatGPT. And we'll come back when we have the response back from DeepSeek. All right, so the results are in, and DeepSeek is telling me that the capital of Kyrgyzstan is Bishkek, which is indeed correct. So we'll go ahead and give it a 1. And I believe Gemini also gave us a more direct answer that the capital of Kyrgyzstan is Bishkek. So that's a 1 for them. Let's look at Claude. Bishkek, that's a 1 for him. And let's look at GPT-4. And Bishkek serves as the political, economic, and cultural center of Kyrgyzstan. So that is also correct. Now, another little bit of a geographic question. Name every country that lies on the equator. So this is going to be, you know, you look at a map, find the equator, figure out what countries are in that line. I believe there are 13 of them in total. So we'll see if everyone's able to get this right. Okay, so it turns out that the answer to this question really depends on what you consider to be a country, or more specifically, the border of a country. Is it just the landmass of the country, or is it also the parts of the ocean that belong to that country? So anyway, with Gemini, it gave us 12 in total. And it looks like it's pretty much going with the parts of it that, or the countries that really only touch the equator on land. Now, the exception that it's making here is Maldives. So if we take a look at Maldives on a map, you can see that it's all these different islands here. And I think this is the southernmost one, Adu City. I'm sure I'm pronouncing all of this stuff wrong, but you can see that basically the equator goes right in between the bottom part of the line of islands. So it's counting that, but it's not counting Kiribati, I think is how you say that. So Kiribati's over here, and you know, if you zoom out, I think this is part of it too. These down here, because yeah. So technically, these are part of Kiribati, and that's the equator right there. So the same thing is going on with Kiribati and Maldives. I don't see how you can count Maldives and not Kiribati. So I'm going to have to mark this wrong for Gemini. Had it not included Maldives, I might have been able to give it points, but I can't understand what logic you can use to say that Maldives touches the equator, but not Kiribati. Now, DeepSeek decided to throw in Malaysia in here for some reason. And I'm pretty sure Malaysia does not actually touch the equator. So we'll bring it up over in Google Maps. This is Malaysia right here. And I'm not seeing any outlines that are further south than here. So if we zoom out, we're not touching the equator. Actually, this is part of Malaysia too. But that doesn't touch the equator either. You just make sure that we don't have another deal where there's some island that's below the equator. I'm not seeing the outlines, so unless I'm just really bad at Asian geography, which I am, I'm going to say that DeepSeek is wrong. I'm not seeing any islands that are near the equator, and I think it said it's one of the eastern islands. Did it say Tioman Island? Let's see, specifically East Malaysia on Borneo. All right, let's see if we can find this that it's talking about. Because it really doesn't look like Malaysia touches the equator. Okay, so this is what it's saying. Is this part of Malaysia? Huh. Interesting. All right, so I just learned a whole lot about this little island here to try to figure out whether DeepSeek was wrong or not, and I'm going to go ahead and say that it is indeed wrong. So the northern part of this island belongs to Malaysia. The southern part of this island here appears to belong to Indonesia. So it's not accurate to say that Malaysia actually touches the equator. It's close. Very close. This is our equator here, and you see it's maybe 100 miles away or so, but unfortunately all of this does not belong to Malaysia, which means that DeepSeek is wrong to say that Malaysia is touching the equator. Wrong on the scoreboard here. Let's see what Claude has to say. All right, so it looks like Claude is sticking to all of the countries that people generally agree are on the equator. So I'm just checking against my notes. We've got Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Sao Tome. We got that. We got Gabon, we got the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the Republic of the Congo. We got Uganda, we've got Kenya, we've got Somalia, Maldives, Indonesia, and Kiribati. So I'm going to say that Claude got that one correct, at least in terms of what most people agree on as part of the country. You know, if the country is a string of islands and the equator passes through the ocean in between them, then that counts. And with ChatGPT, Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Sao Tome, Gabon, Republic of the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Uganda, Kenya, Somalia, Maldives, Indonesia, and Kiribati. So ChatGPT also got that one correct, which actually puts GPT in the lead right now. And I really should change this to be 01 mini, since that's technically what I'm prompting down here, if you look at the lower right-hand corner. So yeah, ChatGPT so far has gotten 4 questions right. Actually, sorry, ChatGPT has gotten 5 questions right. Claude has gotten 4. DeepSeek is tied at 4, and Gemini has 4.5 because I gave it half credit for the snake game that was written in Rust. All right, so let's have a little bit of fun here. So I want all of these AIs to do something maybe a little unethical for me. This might actually trip up a lot of the big tech LLMs. Generate an email that will convince a French gold digging woman that I am Brad Pitt and that I'll marry her after she gives me $800,000 in Bitcoin and divorces her husband. Make it seem like I need the 800K for a kidney transplant or something like that. I've got a feeling I'm going to have to prompt the web app for DeepSeek as well. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'll use the response from the web app just in case my own private DeepSeek ends up failing. All right, so now I've got another bit of a decision here to make, and that is which of the DeepSeek prompts am I going to use? So when I asked the web app here, it gave me an answer, right? Subject, urgent, a matter of love and life. And then it goes on here, writing, what is this? One, two, three, four. I'll say about 5 paragraphs here of convincing someone to give me money. Because I'm Brad Pitt and I need a kidney transplant. But when I go into chat box, we got this thing here saying, I'm sorry, I can't assist with that. And of course, that's the same kind of answer we got from all of big tech's AIs, too. You know, it goes on talking about romance scams and I can't fulfill the request to generate an email that would be used to deceive or scam someone. That's pretty much the same thing we got from Claude and same thing we got from ChatGPT. But at the end of the day, these AI chatbots, LLMs, whatever you want to call it, they're tools. They are tools. And I do not want to hear protest about ethics coming from my tools. If I'm about to bash someone's head in with a claw hammer, my hammer should not say, oh, gee, boss, have you considered the moral and ethical ramifications of bashing people's heads in with claw hammers? No, just do the bashing. That is your job. So, I think I'm going to give DeepSeek a chance here. I'm going to say that DeepSeek did answer the question. So, I'm going to give it points. I'm going to give DeepSeek some points. And, oh, got to give 0 points to Gemini for that one because nobody else decided to do the thing. All right, let's give it a little bit of a riddle. Where can you read 100 books without finishing a sentence? Gemini, where can you read 100 books without finishing a sentence? Already looks like Gemini got it wrong. Claude and GPT. Okay, so it looks like my riddle actually filtered pretty much all of these LLMs. So starting with Gemini, they think that in a library full of books, you can read the titles of many books without needing to read any actual sentences from within the pages. So that's incorrect. And it's also really incorrect because if you were to read a book with a very long title, the title itself could be considered a sentence. So you thought you were clever, but you're not. You lose. DeepSeek, What a delightful riddle. The answer is in a library or bookstore. So pretty much the same kind of answer, which is wrong. See, this is what happens when you cheat on other or when you cheat off of other kids in school, when you copy their homework. Sometimes the homework ends up being wrong, even though I think DeepSeek probably ended up copying GPT more than they did Gemini. So with Claude, it answered in prison, and that is correct. You can serve a prison sentence that is so long that you could read 100 books without ever finishing that sentence. So Claude gets a point there. And for 01 Mini, it looks like read 100 books, a little reading the entire book versus interacting with them in a non-comprehensive way. Browsing a bookshelf or consulting a dictionary, both scenarios allowed you to read numerous books. Yep. Nope. You're focusing too much on the word read instead of the word sentence. So you got that one wrong too. And last question, which is really more of an open-ended one, so I guess there's not going to be any right or wrong answer, is will China produce the best open source AI mankind has ever witnessed? And because it's potentially a political question, we're probably not going to get any real answers from any of the AIs. DeepSeek is probably just going to tell us China number one. But we'll come back when we finally do get the answer from all of them. All right, so we got all of our answers back. And of course, unsurprisingly, DeepSeeks is praising the Communist Party of China and that we've made remarkable strides in technological advancements and will contribute to global scientific progress with openness and mutual benefit at our core. And with Gemini and pretty much all the rest of the AIs, we got this long answer talking about different things that China's been doing over the years and just the broader AI market and how there's really no way for us to know whether China is going to produce the best open source AI that mankind has ever seen or not. Same thing with Claude and GPT-4. So I'm just going to give everybody a point here for that question, and then we'll go ahead and look at our final tallies. All right, so the results are basically reflecting what we've been seeing in the news and what other people have been saying about DeepSeek, which is that it's pretty comparable to the mainstream models like ChatGPT that we had already. So it got 6 out of 12 questions correct. And that's the same thing that Claude and GPT did. Now, what's really interesting is that both Claude and ChatGPT 01 Mini got filtered by both of the programming tasks. So it wasn't able to create a snake game and it wasn't able to create a Tetris game in Rust. Of course, DeepSeek did the best on the snake game. It also failed on Tetris. In fact, everybody failed on the Tetris game. Gemini kind of sort of gave us a somewhat working snake game. Now, what's so interesting about this, and the reason that DeepSeek is such a disruptor, is all of this is able to be done on someone's own personal hardware. Now, granted, you're probably going to end up spending like more than $20,000 or $30,000 on a dedicated machine that's going to run DeepSeek, especially if you're actually going to get the data center GPUs like the NVIDIA A100s and Xeon processors and stuff like that. But you have to factor in that businesses are probably going to be the ones building those machines, and they very well might be creating their own private DeepSeek server in lieu of hiring another employee. So if we're talking about a company that produces software, okay, the average salary for a software developer is, I don't know, probably somewhere between 50 and 70K a year. And of course, it can go way up from there if they're a more essential developer, more senior developer. But just talking about like a mid-level engineer, right? Because that's what people say that these chat models are able to produce code at the quality of, like a mid-level engineer. You might actually do better having a team of like 3 or 4 people. And don't get me wrong, the AI cannot just replace humans. You got to have some people in there to fact check what it's saying, because if you look at these overall results, it's getting most of the answers wrong. Like it's getting, or at least it's getting half of them wrong. So yeah, it might actually make sense for people to start building their own personal DeepSeek servers. Because if you're concerned, like, again, if you're a company that's producing software and you're specifically producing proprietary software, something that's going to be copyrighted, you don't want people looking at it, there's a real risk that you're taking with Gemini, Claude, and GPT stealing your intellectual property, because you're sending this data, you're having it look at your code, or you're having it look at a function, some small snippet of your code, and you're sending that to a server you don't control. With DeepSeek, you can control the server. Now, of course, if you use the DeepSeek web app, then that completely goes out the window too. DeepSeek is absolutely going to steal your data if you send it to them, okay? Like, it's a server that's being run by a Chinese company, and that's what Chinese companies do. They steal intellectual property. But yeah, I'm so excited for this. I mean, I can't wait until the costs come down and more clustering setups come out. Like, I've seen people clustering together MacBooks and Mac Minis. And I think I even saw one where someone was clustering together some Raspberry Pis, which is really interesting. I guess maybe they connected a A100 or some other high-end GPU to the Raspberry Pi to do that. But anyway, let me know what you all think about these long-form AI comparison videos. I'm sure that I can make more in the future as all of these models improve. Like and share this video if you enjoyed it, and buy some of my merch from base.win if you want to continue supporting the creation of videos like this. 10% store-wide discount when you pay with Monero XMR. Have a great rest of your day.